and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to 2021. It's your Overseas Connection podcast. It is the 3rd of January. It is 2021. Thankfully, no longer 2020. We are excited to bring in the new year with a little gaming podcast goodness. I am your host, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me today, the finest of finery, we have the most ginger of gingerous, Peachin.
Hello. Happy New Year, Greg.
Pete, I'm excited. Not only is it a new year, it already is better than last year.
Well, because I'm on the first show of the year.
No, actually, not at all. No. The reason why, one, I had sex on New Year's Day.
Who with?
Wow.
Start the year off.
Who with?
Fantastic.
Does Cindy know?
I was just going to say.
Yeah, no, she doesn't know. But also, we're starting off the new year with no Skypiness from our beloved Robin Tate.
Ooh, there's the kiss of death. Happy New Year, everybody. Yes, we have upgraded again.
Yes.
So we'll see how we get on this today. My audio has been a nightmare. I apologize. So, yes, Happy New Year. Lovely to see that you got the rubber inflatable doll that I sent you, Greg. That's really good. I'm very pleased. I'm sorry it didn't arrive for Christmas Day, but I'm glad it arrived for New Year's Day.
I appreciated that, Robin. I really did. Cindy was relieved as well.
All right, great. Let's do this. I'm going to do a wee bit of work. You chat amongst yourselves for a minute, okay? And I'll be right back.
We are going to chat amongst ourselves. So, hey, look, if you are listening to the podcast right now, that means you are glutton for punishment. But we appreciate you. We are on every Sunday. So if you're new to this podcast, every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone. We are a multi-international podcast. I say multi-international. Really, it's two countries. That's okay. Technically, almost three, I guess, if we want to count. No, just two. Just two. Two countries. We don't count Canada anymore. Fuck Canada. But we have our friends in the UK. We have our friends in the US. And we come together every Sunday and we talk about games. We talk about life. And what all has been going on. And that's the gist of it. So sit back, enjoy. You can watch us live on Twitch. You can watch us live on YouTube, I think.
Hooray,
you can also get
story
sound
time.
Effects just out
Hooray,
of the blue.
Story
just
time.
Random
I'm so
sound
glad
effects.
To be with you today.
So maybe 2021, not so smoothly starting.
I was queuing that up, but I queued it up.
That's
a
okay.
Bit. Yep, leprechauns.
You queued it up well.
Leprechauns.
You did.
Okay. Leprechauns. Okay.
Cunt. All right. We've got some birthdays to talk about. If you already didn't figure that out, hint, hint. Yes, we want to celebrate Adam Edwards. He turned 73 yesterday. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Richard Natras is celebrating his 84th birthday on the 4th of this month. Wow, that is an achievement. Also celebrating his 84th birthday and looking like he is only 82, Dan Knapman. And finally, Shell Kelly celebrating 25, somewhere. I think we'll go with 24. I don't want to be disrespectful here, so I'm just going to say, yes, 24. Happy birthday on the 9th.
Pete.
And we have a song for you.
And Pete's going to sing it.
Pete, sing it. Come on. Let's go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Wait. Pete, you're singing this to the love of your life. With meaning, with
no, I'm singing it to you not, and all these other followers.
No,
I'll do that differently. I'll do it without my clothes on. Happy birthday to you. Right, let's move on.
Lord, should have been happy birthday to you.
Is that how you got sex today? Wow.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it was that the first. I won't get any more for the rest of the year, mind you. But we got that cover out of the chute. All right, let's talk some story time. That might have been a cue for Robin.
We already did it.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right, Pete. You're up first. What has been going on, Pete? We haven't talked in a little while. How was Christmas? How was life?
Christmas was good. It was just quiet. I suppose everybody else is just quiet.
It's been like a year since I've talked to you.
I know. Well, I'm back. So whether that pleases you or not, I'm here tonight. And it's been quiet. It's been a nice Christmas. Spent it with just a couple of family members. But we've been watching a lot of television. Like we marathon watched Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. I think we did it in about 3 days. It didn't take us long. So that was good. That was nice and relaxing. I've been watching Vikings because that's on its last, legs now. It's the last season. Season 6 part 2? It's been going on for too long, if you ask me, to be honest. But it's starting to get a bit. I don't know. They're wrapping it up, and you can tell that it's got to end somewhere. But it just seems to be a little bit rushed. But I love the TV series. What else have I been up to? My car's broke down. I was going to buy an Xbox Series S last week when who mentioned it in the chat? Somebody mentioned it that it was they were coming up on Amazon. So I thought, I'll probably get me one of those next day. My bloody car breaks down. So I'd imagine I'm going to be spending my money on that now instead of an Xbox One Series S.
Yes, you're going to have to get used to that. May I ask what happened to the vehicle?
Well,
drive it into a light pole.
No, it's something to do with the gearbox and like an arm that connects onto the gear selector. So we're going to get that looked at. Which I'm hoping it'll be fixed by Tuesday because I'm supposed to be back at work tomorrow, and I had to send the news to my boss that I ain't going to be able to make it in. I'm going to do some work from home. But it's been all right, Greg. Quiet, really. Probably like a lot of everybody else's Christmas has been in tier 4 and tier 3 and all these different lockdowns.
I don't believe in tears.
Oh, well.
No, I don't like crying. I don't believe in tears. Kim rightfully pointed out it is January 3rd. Thank you, Kim, in the chat. She is paying attention, unlike the rest of us. I said the second. That was old bit. That's fake news, people. It's not the second anymore. It's the third. Just want to make sure we clarified that. I don't know why. Hey, is that a New Jersey, Pete? Did you get that for Christmas by chance?
I did get it for Christmas, yeah. I used to love the Chicago Bulls as a teenager. It's one of my Christmas prezzies. So I thought I'd put that on tonight. Yeah. Okay. I've had quite a few clothes, actually. What has everybody else had some nice prezzies?
I've had some nice prezzies. You can see one actually right here. I have a new arm for my microphone. It's very Throne Max. It's very. It feels like I'm working in a robotics factory.
It looks very rigid.
It's sturdy, but what's nice is it actually is nice. It's very easy to maneuver, and my old. Arm that I had for my mic, it actually didn't have lateral movement to it. It would only go up and down, and you literally had to kind of turn it in its little vice thing to make it kind of angle, and that always bugged me. So I said, you know what, I'm gonna change that out. So here we go. I also bought an air fryer for myself. That was Santa's gift to the family, was an air fryer. I've been experimenting around with that a little bit.
A hair fryer.
Air fryer.
What brand did you get, Greg?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Does it have two little drawers in it, or does it have a single compartment?
It's a single compartment, but it's a slimline profile. That was one of the criteria. I wanted to be able to kind of stash it away into a particular space, keeping it off the countertop. That was I knew that would be a deal breaker if I had to say this has to stay on the countertop. My wife would have been like, yeah, no. So. I got a slimline model, so it has a little bit lower profile. It's nice. It's got a nice deep basket to it, and
That's a personality test in Northern Ireland. It's not about your slimline fryer, but we ask it about your toaster. So do you put your toaster away or does it stay on the counter? And it says a certain thing about you in Northern Ireland. So anyway,
what does it say? I can't.
I'm sorry, I can't.
So if your toaster stays out on the countertop, what does that mean?
Our toaster goes away. Okay.
Our toaster goes away. So I am probably some kind of heathenistic cunt because my toaster stays on the countertop.
Yep. Terrible. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Disgusting.
Well, Greg, mine stays on top too. So we're both in the same club.
Well, it's funny. We used air fryer tonight. Now, we don't use it for lots. In fact, it's been a long time since we used it. So we had some lovely steaks, sirloin steaks. Judith was going to do some mashed potatoes, fresh mashed potatoes. And I said, like, why not do like big chippy things and make the fresh potatoes in the air fryer? And that's lovely. You know, cut them into wedges, nice big chunky chips, some pepper sauce, perfect.
That's exactly what I did last night.
Red potatoes. The air fryer is literally a spoon of oil, a tiny teaspoon of oil, and away it goes for your chips and stuff. So so you put the food in, it closes it down, and it circulates the food round and round and round, and it's quite healthy, and you're not deep frying, and it's a healthy fried food. Very good for breaded chicken, breaded pieces, all that sort of stuff as well.
The reality is, it's a mini convection oven.
Yeah,
that really is what it is. Yeah, so. It's you know,
and it helps to brine because it's constantly turning stuff, I suppose. So yeah,
right. But a convection oven, it utilizes airflow to try and cook food more evenly and quicker.
Yeah.
The problem is with the convection oven, obviously, is you have to heat up your whole oven. So the air fryer is, think of it as a smaller version of that. More condensed, more specific to really frying food as opposed to all the different things you can do with an oven. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we haven't got one in our house, because we don't have like potato fries and all that jazz, mashed potatoes. We don't have all of that. So we live with our slow cooker. Oh man, it's amazing.
Oh, we love that too, yeah.
Yep. Slow cookers are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to pile in chicken and just cook a bunch of chicken up for the week.
And I love the I bought a pressure cooker again from America.
Oh, yeah.
Pressure, because it used to be the whole thing over here, but I bought an American pressure cooker. And it's a fantastic piece of kit, too. It's amusing. Anyway, we're talking about cooking stuff. That's ridiculous.
I'm getting hungry again.
speaking of food, it's ridiculous, actually, Greg. I've been very quiet in our WhatsApp weight group. Since September of this year, I have been a very, very bad boy. And I think it was to do with first lockdown. I was exercising every day. I was enjoying my diet my change of eating. And come September, when the kids were at school, not at school, it was at school, you know, everybody got a bit depressed. And I lost, and just like you and your gym, I think I lost my way with food. I haven't weighed myself since the weekend we went to Inniskillen when I was on the lovely big house on the side of the lake and with the paddle boarding. So I haven't weighed myself since then. And since that was the very last week in August till Friday of past, I put on, do it in an American way, 21 pounds.
You have lost your way. You have. I was just going to say, I have put on...
Stone and a half.
Yeah, I've put on 10 pounds since summer. It has not been a good...
Stone and a half.
Fourth quarter in terms of the weight stuff. So, I know this because I also bought a new scale.
What did you get?
Threw out my old scale.
Fitbit scale?
Got a new scale that has Bluetooth connectivity.
Okay, good.
It'll attach up to a Wii Fit, that kind of thing. Or not Wii Fit, Fitbit.
Old man.
Wii Fit. Yeah. But so I got on the scale and I was 221. And so that's a heavy weight for me for quite some time.
Judith and I we kind of knew it over the last wee while. And it was like, fuck it. We're going to go through Christmas. Literally, this is the last of the wine. In fact, my wine was called, I picked my bottle, it was called Fatter something. One of them and I thought, you bastards, you're trying to tell me. So yes, the drinking through the week is going to stop now and the sensible at the weekends and the stupid food.
I'm not going to be that ridiculous. My drinking will not stop during the week. However, I will have a couple sober days. But yeah, it's funny you said that, Robin. The getting the scale was preceded by me trying on a shirt that normally was, you know, it fit me really nicely.
Yeah.
This time I felt like it fit me a little tight, and I was like, you know what? I have not weighed myself in forever and a day. And I got on and I was like, ooh.
I put on some shirts, nearly all my shirts now. I'm either very, very fucking ripped or I'm very, very fucking fat all of a sudden. Because just everything's bursting out. So yeah, I'll get that under control again, because that's bad. So part of my gaming is doing a wee bit of that, and we'll do a bit more exercise again. I have set myself, written out some targets and goals, the things that I want. Okay. Not just a number, but some achievements that I want this year. Yes, there are the usual sort of financial ones, but there's things that I want to do this year that I've written down, that I've been putting off for several years. Things like taking the kids up Slieve Donard, which is the tallest mountain in Northern Ireland, again, which you can walk up. It's not pitons and stuff like that. It's a day up and down, which I've been putting off for years, and I just don't want to do stuff like that. So there's bucket list things, there are financial things, there's weight stuff, and I think it's important to write that shit out, you know.
You know, I'm not a fan of New Year's resolutions.
No, it's not really a resolution, but it's just stuff I need to get into the habit of again.
Okay. Yeah,
if that's what makes you change, looking at a list, physical reminder, some prompt, you know, if that works for you, it kind of works for me for a while until I get into the habit of it.
My thing about New Year's resolutions, and the reason why I find them to be a bit... I don't feel like they are a good system. And I say that because most people set their New Year's resolutions ahead of time. They're like, oh, my New Year's resolutions is, you know, this year is going to be, I'm going to start working out, or I'm going to stop smoking. But I'm going to start it on this day or that day.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is you're putting it off already. You're already setting yourself up for failure. If you are deciding to make a change in your life, just fucking do it.
No, apart from the weight thing, which I just know anyway, and it started immediately, is that I did that. Right. I purposely, let's get Christmas over just before New Year. Let's have a look at this weight stuff. Because I knew it was bad, but I got to get to it. Whether it's the video thing again with Judith and I, the weekly video.
If we do something as fun as
that again, because that was fun.
Judith, baby.
Yeah, woo-hoo. That was good. So we'll see. We'll talk about that recently or over the next few days. The curfew still exists here in Northern Ireland. So,
Robin, real quickly, Kim would like to know if you're going to leave the kids in the mountain.
I was going to mention that, Joseph.
Well, the last time I was up this mountain, I brought some golf clubs and golf balls and hit a few golf balls off the top of it, just to say. So anything is possible. It's me.
Okay.
Yeah, so curfew is still in. So if I wanted to drive to Newcastle and County Down right now, it would be illegal or I would be challenged. So 8 p.m., all shops, all petrol stations, gas stations, restaurants, takeaways, everything is closed. And people are being physically removed from outside of places like that at the moment. So that's tight.
Welcome to East Germany.
Pretty much. In fact, we were chatting earlier on about vaccines and stuff like that there. Yeah, my old marathon and half marathon running buddy, Devon, friend of Judith's, she contacted us this morning. She was here on Tuesday using my treadmill because it was snow out.
At least somebody was.
Well, she contacted us this morning to say that she tested positive.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want another child at this stage, but I'm sorry, Devon. No, she tested positive for Woo Flu. So that's bad. But we were chatting in the WhatsApp groups about this sort of stuff and about the vaccine and other stuff like that there. And it is a very, very odd time at the moment. You know, the kids back again? I mean, I've got an early morning meeting tomorrow morning, back at work again. I'm kind of fed up with it all. You know, it is. What do you do? I mean, you say 2021's better already. Personally, apart from, this is going to sound really cold and callous and really, really horrible. I had an all right year. sounds really, awful. What? I know it sounds, Robin, really awful. I mean, I spent more time with my family. I was at home. And I know people have had people that have been sick and have died. But I didn't know anybody personally who has died.
Right.
I've spent more time with my family. I've been lucky enough to keep my job. If that continues on this year, I've branched out with my stocks and shares and other bits and pieces there. And I've got more of, there's more of me, a stone and a half more of me now than there was this time last year. So it is, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I was saying about locally as well. So, but and how this whole thing is getting people crazy. So Ryanair is a really big airline. You will know Ryanair, Pete, because they fly all over Europe, England, very, very big. Southern Ireland company. But I've seen their TV advert tonight, and they're getting a lot of shit for it on social media. And their TV advert is, we'll soon be flying to Greece, Spain, Italy, and France again. Get your jab and go. Jab and go. So.
Get your jab and go.
Get your jab and go. And, you know, that's like, so are people making lists of people, you know, you're not getting it? If you haven't got the vaccine, you're not getting in? I mean, I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go there. That'd be a prerequisite, I think.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I hate the idea of putting in systems that can potentially exclude people out or label them and make it some kind of, you know, legal labeling. Only from the standpoint of, look, we have seen how some of this can play out in our history of the world. And it's not necessarily been the best thing in the world. But I also see how kind of moving forward, how this is going to be how we move forward. I don't know that it's going to really make a massive change in the world either. But I have a feeling it's going to be you need to get your vaccine. And until you get your vaccine, you're going to be excluded from certain types of things.
Hey, look, I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking the vaccine. You know, it hasn't been offered to me. It probably will as foster carers. It'll probably not be too far away from us, guys. We'll be, you know, that happens quite regularly, that sort of stuff with us. So,
right.
But I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like that. Anyway, that's a different matter. So, yes.
Yes.
Here we are, 2021, and we're moving on, and that's pretty kind of cool, and I quite like that. Now, the other stuff that we were talking about, which is nice, was I said to Judith the other day that we're going away for Christmas next year. We are not staying here. I don't care. We are going to the sun. So...
Okay.
In fact, her mom and dad were there with us, sort of thing. Her mom and dad had called in. I said, "Oh, by the way, guys, we won't be here next year for Christmas. We'll be away." So, yeah, I think it's going to have to be somewhere guaranteed sun and comfortable. Right. And I think it'll probably be Orlando is as good as any. Just sun, barbecue, Christmas Day. Bit of shopping, bit of some of the parks again. I actually fancy a bit of Epcot again and some of the Disney parks this time around. So yeah, definitely the flights will become available at the end of January. That's going to be done. And of course, the twist is, I was looking at something. What was it? Why was I looking at stuff on YouTube over the weekend about Banff in Canada? Somebody was talking about Canada. So I start to look up stuff about Canada going, wow. So Judith's going, oh, well, we've got lots of relations. Maybe my mom and dad would like to go to Canada with us. Would you like to go to Canada or else Orlando or Florida? I'm going, both? Both? I said, but no, we couldn't do the Rockies in the winter time. So let's do it. Not this July, but the following July, I'm going, nah, Judith, I need to go. I can't wait 2 years. Kelly Louise, one of our ex-foster kids, she's getting married this year, and she's getting married out in Greece. So that looks like it's on again. So, in fact, that's what put Ryanair in my head, because Greece is there And they're cheap flights at the moment, so I need to get those booked. So
Amazingly, every flight out there is pretty cheap right now.
So I think I'm safe enough, Orlando. I mean, looking at some of the YouTube stuff from the last couple of days and around Orlando and Florida and Universal and some of the parks, they're busy. They're socially distanced busy, but they're busy. Not as bad as people are wearing masks. I'm all right with that. And then hopefully by December of next year, I'll be all right.
I mean, I'd be okay wearing a mask right now in Florida. Come July, August time frame, I might not.
Yeah, am I so hot? Yeah, imagine how hot it would be. But
I get what you're saying. We actually have a vacation package Hawaii. We were debating right now if we try to go in May or do we just put it off and because we don't know if Hawaii is even going to be open back up by May. We hope, but I have a feeling we're going to be putting this off till September anyway. So we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, I'll finish off. Two things on our same list. Those pesky kitties. I am rapidly working my way through Brush Fire, which is an Expeditionary Force book with our favorite nerdy tin can Skippy, who thinks all of the human race are filthy monkeys. But he's brilliant. So this was sort of slow burn.
I was going to ask you about this, Robin, because I'm not like I've been very excited for the past books.
Yeah.
This one, maybe an hour or two in, and
it's a setup book. This is a setup.
It feels like a setup book.
It's a setup
book. We're on book 11. I kind of want this maybe to wrap up.
Well, I think it's time. So there's only this is no spoiler. There's the Max Ults, the kiddies. So they're the baddies now. And then there is the big, big baddies, the elders. So they're the only ones that are really left. And I've about an hour and a half left in the book. And it's setting up for a big kiddie battle in the next book. But, in the first half of the book was all about going back to Earth and everybody getting settled down. And everything was going swimmingly well. And then it doesn't.
Well, that pretty much is this entire book series. You know, you usually kind of have a setup of the best laid plans, right?
Yeah.
And then they go horribly wrong in some fashion or another, or they go the way they thought they were going to go, but then there's some unforeseen consequence. That's what kind of keeps this all happening and going on. But I am at that point. I'm ready for this
to finish.
Entire
I've got a bit of poop left in me. Yeah, funny. I had it on in the kitchen while feeding Glenn today, and Judith's going, Robin, you've been listening to that same book for years. It's the same thing. Spaceship and lasers and mazers and stinky monkeys. I said, Judith, there's subtle differences between each book. So, Expedition Force. Before I came out, I sat and watched a film called Ava.
Yes.
It's a popcorn movie. It is assassin. Okay. It's assassin. It's good. It's good old fare.
I have it on my Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's not as good as some of the other ones.
The Bourne Identity.
Bourne Identity. It's that sort of thing with a girly. I would thoroughly recommend, if I can just pull it up on my movie list now.
There's a movie, Peppermint.
Peppermint. Yes, it's in
that. I like Peppermint.
It's in the same style. I would say Peppermint is better.
Peppermint with Jennifer Gardner, for those that are wondering.
And I would say Bridget Fonda. There's a fantastic movie with Bridget Fonda. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll quickly look it up as you chat. Bridget Fonda.
Is it better than Barbarella?
If you don't know what Barbarella is,
you're in for a treat. Go look up Barbarella.
Oh, yeah. The first 5 minutes of that is it's wild, man. Like, it's called Point of No Return with Bridget Fonda. And again, it is a similar sort of person as Ava. She was a bad, bad girl and gets turned around and turned into an assassin sort of thing. In fact, at the front of Ava, the opening credits shows you what the whole thing was. And that opening credits is pretty much the whole movie of Point of No Return, which has Harvey Keitel in it and Gabriel Byrne. It's okay. From 1993, but it's a fantastic movie, Point of No Return. So that's about me. I think
so. Real quickly on that same line, there is a series out on Amazon Prime called Hannah, which is very much same kind of thing. It's talking about, a female assassin, but it's from like kind of birth, if you will. So she's raised to be an assassin, so to speak. I was into it for a little bit and then really fell off that series. I never finished it out. I think if you like that kind of movie thing, you might actually like it. For me, I got a little bored with it personally, but that's another option.
I forgot The Expanse. The Expanse. I'm starting the new series of The Expanse is good and solid. So
The Expanse has been a great sci-fi series. 100%.
I watched a brilliant film on Amazon Prime, and it was called Parasite. It's a Korean film.
Oh yeah, shit! Won all the awards.
Yes.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah.
But
you had to read. Took off, man. Did Shell read it out for you, or what? Did she read the subtitles out for you, or what?
No, I had to go through them. Do you know what? I don't mind because a lot of people might know. As Mike's got on about it a few times. My mum's deaf, so I've grown up with subtitles on the TV, so I don't mind watching subtitles, reading subtitles. But reading in general, now that can just go and die. But I don't mind.
Burn those books.
But Parasite's such a good movie, and it was almost, I don't know, I thought it was like, it was one person that was going to home in on this family and con them out of money.
I haven't seen it. No spoilers.
No, I'm not going to go into it anymore. But by God, it was just, it went from 0 to 60 in about, I don't know, 15 minutes of the movie. And I was just like, whoa. And it was a good watch. You should put that on your watch list.
Will do.
Parasite.
Speaking of movies, and I threw a poll out earlier this week. What was the better submarine movie? Tom Clancy's The Hunt for Red October or Crimson Tide?
Oh.
So Crimson Tide stars Denzel Washington.
Yeah, know it.
The Hunt for Red October, Sean Connery. There was a preponderance of people that said The Hunt for Red October.
Absolutely.
However, after watching Crimson Tide, you are all wrong.
No,
Crimson Tide is a much better movie on many, 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 many levels,
and weaker on quite a few as well.
It is realistic in terms of the actual submarines and in terms of what they do within the submarines. It is realistic on all fronts, whereas The Hunt for Red October is just fiction bullshit. Sean Connery's great in it. But
one
the entire
ping,
premise of The Hunt for Red October
one
is
ping
dumb.
Only.
Yes, that's
for
the,
goodness
that's
sake.
The one part of the movie that you love.
Oh,
again,
no.
Awesome.
He slipped on his tee. How wonderful.
Was dumb.
No.
The Hunt for Red October was absolutely
He was reading from
stupid.
The Bible with his wife had underlined the things in Russian. And it just, he said revelations. And he kind of did that. And then he moved into English. It was so good. And then the guy from Jurassic Park, seriously, he wanted to have multiple wives, get a recreational vehicle, drive from state to state without a pass, and raise rabbits. He wanted to raise rabbits. Right. I mean, that's quality. That's every Russian submariner wants to raise rabbits in Montana.
Was quality, Robin, sure. But the premise of we're going to steal this nuclear submarine, we're going to offload all of our crew by making up this fictitious disaster on board the submarine. We're going to abandon them up on the surface, and then we're going to man the submarine under the surface, and we're going to escape to the United States. All bollocks.
It's based on some very loose story
based
of a submarine that disappeared.
Garbage. Tom Clancy is a fun popcorn kind of author, but at the end of the day, The Hunt for Red October is not the better submarine movie.
Who are you? Seriously. Seriously, now you're going to say the one with Richard flipping Indiana Jones 57, what is it, Submarine 57, where they all die of cancer.
That was bad.
Yeah, but that was based on truth. That happened. Those people died. That was a thing. Choo-choo. Boop-boop. Away.
Crimson Tide.
Into Red Route 1. Red Route 1. We have to turn. It's a certain time, certain second, certain speed. We have to turn. He's going to kill us all, Priscilla. He's going to kill us all. Stay your post. It's a fantastic film. I've watched The Hunt for Red October 1,000 times. I'm stabbing your camera and eye.
Fake news.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Anyway, let's move on.
Do you like The Hunt for Red October, people? Or do you like something?
The Hunt for Red October is a good movie. It's just not the better submarine movie.
No.
Crimson Tide is the better submarine
movie. He has a doggy. He's a dog.
Robin,
a dog.
Just give me the fucking key.
He's got a dog. He's got a dog on a boat.
Can we move on now?
I don't know.
Okay. Hey, it's January. It's game time. Robin, play me some music.
Okay. It's all moved around. Shall we play a game? There it is.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
Well, now that we've had that heated discussion over submarine movies, Pete, save us. Let's talk about something happy. Let's talk about the free games that we get to pay for in the month of January.
Okay, so Xbox One, we've got Little Nightmares, which is available all month. Dead Rising is available from the 16th of January to February 15th. The King of Fighters 8, I've never played one of them, available from the 1st of January to the 15th. Breakdown is available between the 16th and 31st of January. PlayStation Plus, we have Maneater on the PS5. I still want to play that game. Greedfall, which is on the PS4. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is also on PS4. Twitch Prime Games, if anybody has still got a subscription. I'm on about. I'm thinking about Stadia. Right, Battlefield 3, Turmoil, Sigma Theory, it's Global Cold War, Hyperdot, Close to the Sun, and Wizard of Legend. And then if anybody has got a subscription, then to Stadia Pro. Have you, Robin, or is it gone now? Oh, dear. Ori and the Secret of Seasons, F1 2020, Figment, El Hijo, A Wild West Tale, and Hotline Miami. Epic Games Store have also given us Jurassic World Evolution, which is available till the 7th of January. So there's not much time left on that one.
Hmm. That's a good game. So you would love it, Pete. Absolutely love it. All right. Thank you for that, Pete. So there you go. Some games to look forward to, people. Robin, who would you like to start with in terms of the games we've been playing? Would you like to lead us off?
Oh, yeah, why not? See, I'm doing that thing. I am a nice little man, and I've been playing lots of Beat Saber! Okay, so the main thing that I've been playing with since Christmas time is my Oculus Quest 2. It's a great piece of kit. You've got no wires. You switch it on, you throw it on your head, and you're in the Matrix. You are there. It is really, really clever. The menu systems all work very well. The only downside, I would say, is that some of the little game experiences and apps are too expensive for what they are. I've had a great old time with the Star Wars Vader experience. Vader, did you play that one, Pete? Did you? The Vader one yet? No, it's brilliant. But the thing that I've been getting up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, go into the sunroom, and stick on Beat Saber for 3/4 of an hour and beat the fuck out of those little blocks to hip techno music. It's what every 52-year-old should be doing. almost the harder you hit those blocks, the more score you get. Do you play this, Pete? Beat Saber?
I've played it, not that much.
Okay, so the harder you hit them, I'm doing it right now on the screen, the more score you get and you build up a multiplier. Now, I've been working my way through the campaign and it's getting very difficult, so I'm looking like some sort of manic, sort of this, but I'm feeling really cool. Now, I don't feel like such an idiot when I put it on the screen in the living room, you know, share it out,
yeah,
so people can see that I'm not just standing there like a twat. But damn, it certainly works out a sweat. The campaign's good. I bought some extra little download packs of music, and this morning I found myself score chasing. I started chasing another man, young and sprightly like myself, Rain God Zippo. Brian, I've been chasing your scores. Because it pops up to say, oh, Rain God Zippo just beat your score on such and such a track. And Viva La Pedros. Yeah, Peds, I have been trying to beat some of his scores because it keeps on popping up. It's like the old Forza thing. Like somebody's beat your lap time and it pops up on your Quest dashboard. So, I've been... Was this one about parrots today? The one about Brian's Rain God Zippo was about parrot, a parrot hip techno song. But, you know, it's so cool. It gets the blood going. It gets it works up a good old sweat. And it's great fun. So,
Stu, I think Stu lost a stone playing this game.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I find it very, very good. It's cardio. And it's good cardio. So, that can't be bad for you. A nice way to start the day and do it in a nerdy sort of way. I'd love Judith to try it. She hasn't put it on yet.
I just can't get off the table tennis game. That's my...
No, I did buy it. I need to speak to you about it. I did play. I bought a lot of stuff for it. So I don't understand the table tennis game. Every time I go to hit the ball, it says point voided. What does that mean? What do you do there?
It just depends what type of game you're playing. And you should, firstly, you shouldn't drop it on the table. You should hit it. It should
in
hit
the air.
Ball, then it should hit your you should hit your side of the table first to go over the net and hit their side of the table, and then they return it over to yours.
Okay,
so
well,
the serve has to hit your side of the table first.
It does look lovely. I mean, it's a very, very nice, nice cool game.
I'll play you one night. I played Tara and Mike, and I got them into it, and
Pete. Just a suggestion, if you need a quick car fix, play him for Pink Slips.
Okay, so the other thing that I've been playing on the Quest, and it's more a thing to show off the tech, because it doesn't look that fabulous, it's Richie's Plank Experience. And this is, here we are, it's on the screen right now. You appear in the city, it looks like sort of PlayStation 2 graphics for Spider-Man, if you can imagine that. So you're in an elevator, you press the button with your finger, and you go up to the 80th floor and you have to walk out onto a narrow plank. And even I'm looking at the screen right now, the screen I'm looking at now still gives me vertigo. And I know it's crazy. And I know I'm standing in the front of my living room. And I know there is no plank. And I know I'm not going to fall off. But it is still the vertigo that this creates in you is something shocking. It's very, very good. It's a good example of what that Quest is all about. It's a good thing to introduce people to, I suppose. And just a little introductory demo of, like, get started.
Here, I want you to try this out. Walk the plank.
Yeah, walk the plank. Yeah, there's donuts at the end. Go and get it. But it's very, very real. Other things I've been impressed with it is Wander. Wander is like it's an app, and it is like Google Earth.
So good, isn't it?
Yeah, now Google Earth I haven't used. I haven't connected, well, almost haven't connected it to the PC. Because, anyway, and you can do Google Earth VR through it. But if you're not doing that, there's an app called Wander, and it works very like Google Earth. Same sort of idea. And it collates collections of sites around the world that you can go in VR and work your way around. Again, they're static photographs, and you're zooming in and out. I can go to and have a look in at Greg's house, and go to your house, go to my house. Quite creepily, even though my father's been dead for 5 years, bless his heart, I went to our old house, and he was standing he was standing at the window. So his back turned. It was his hip. It's definitely him in the back, and so that's kind of cool. So I mean, I just whizzing around it, and again showing people where we're going to. Yeah, and going to that place in Florida. Let's go and see what it's like again. Oh yeah, there it is. Down the street to that, and wander and getting lost in the world, and when you start it up, it drops you randomly in beautiful places around the world. You get to start
some lovely temples and even just an open field. Just in the middle of nowhere.
Some of the stuff I've done, I mean, I went up Everest to play with elephants and having tigers in your face and all that stuff is a really, I don't know how many times you'll do it, but it's a very, very good example of where this technology is going. I'm very impressed with it. The final thing that I haven't had the success that I wanted to is I wanted to connect this PC here to it, which I can. There's a thing called Virtual Desktop. And virtual desktop is really simple. It goes on a device. You give it permission from your PC and up it comes. And using your controllers, you can pull up a virtual keyboard. You can have multiple screens like I have here now in this big, massive, like a theater space. And it works really, really well here. It is supposed to work, from anywhere. So so this PC is no longer on the same network as the house. So it's saying not on the network. I think I have to open up a port or something on some of the routers to allow me in so I could sit in the house and do that. Because some of the cinema experience stuff is supposed to be very, very good. And Google Earth and watching movies. I hear watching movies, 3D movies, is very, very cool in the VR headset as well, Pete. Have you tried that?
I've not done that. No, I'm not doing that.
It would make sense. It seems like the perfect
even though there's like the Amazon Prime app, and you go and you sit down, you pick your movie, and you're in this. The lobby is this beautiful big park, and the menus for the Amazon comes up on like billboards. But all your collection of movies, recommended stuff, really easy, really natural. And then once you start to use it, you sit in a big cinema seat. And you sort of look around you and, there's all the cinema seats around. And then when the movie starts, everything gets dark and down. Just like, it is very, very good. It's very sharp. I'm very, very impressed with this device, the Oculus Quest 2. So, that's what I've been in virtual world. I've taken the red pill or the blue pill, just says I need. Loving it. So, Beat Saber people, watch out. Chubby 52-year-old is coming after your scores, your hip-hop music.
I need to get into it, see if I can get some scores in, see if I can get anywhere near you guys then. I'm going to try and fire that up.
I think Chinny is the master there. So.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
There's some interesting Antonio, chat going on around you beating your saber, Robin.
Yep, too right.
Yeah.
Antonio's a rhythm...
He is
rhythm game.
Well, you understand where Antonio's name comes from, GH Rocker.
Yeah.
So that's
Guitar Hero, yeah.
Guitar Hero Rocker. That's where that name comes from. So, yeah. Good lad. Yep. There was a thing.
There was a thing.
Yeah. I seen something there recently. You don't want to know. No. If I find it, I'll bring it up later on. Okay. Anyway, carry on.
Yes, Pete, what have you been playing? I see two games on your list here.
Yeah, I've been playing an awful lot of chess. Stupid amounts of chess.
What chess?
Now, like in-person chess or virtual chess?
Both.
Okay. What has got you on a chess kick?
I watched The Queen's Gambit. I think it's a TV, TV series on Netflix, isn't it? I've always been a big fan of chess, and I've loved it from a kid. And I don't know, it kind of just brought me back into playing it. So I've registered on chess.com. That's pretty cool. You can play with people all over the world. You can have there's puzzles, daily puzzles that you can solve. There's tutorials. There's different theories that you can learn. So it goes into all of the opening theories. And you could read about those if you want to, so I've been doing that. you can play against the computer, and you start off with an introduction level, then there's beginner, intermediate, advanced, master, and then they've got Beth Harmon, which is from The Queen's Gambit, and they've just like stupid difficulty levels. At the minute, I seem to be kind of around the advanced level. I seem to be winning or losing games around there. I can't get anywhere with master. I've not beat a master yet. So I've been playing at home as well with Shell. It's just, I don't know, it's just kind of, it sucked us both in because Shell's playing it as well. She's got it on her phone. She's registered an account. And we've just really got into chess on a stupid nerd level. One of those things.
Okay. Chess.
Yeah. Chess. The other game I've played, which is a Christmas present from Shell, is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Now, I haven't played Assassin's Creed for years, since number 2, I think it was. Mike says, oh, you got to play this one. So I played that, and I didn't really like it that much. It's been a long time since I've bought Assassin's Creed, but I'm like big into my Viking, yes. Vikings history, and all of its artwork and just crazy culture. I'm well into my Vikings, and I thought I've got to dip into this. There's no way that I can go without this, and it's. Have you got this game as well?
I do. I've been playing it.
Okay. All right. Well, it's massive. I can't believe.
Baby.
The game is to start off with.
It is.
Bloody enormous. You start off, don't you, in Norway? You're just you're orphaned because of a village killing. Someone kills your father, and you then get brought up by another family, and you eventually move into England. I'm not going to reveal why, but when you get to England, like, there's just so much you can do, from building your own village to building your own crew and gaining alliances with different Viking tribes around the country. There's plenty of enemies. There's plenty of people to piss off.
Everybody hates you.
Everybody hates you.
But, you know, I will say this. You know, I hear what you're saying in terms of it's massive, but I actually like the way they've done in Valhalla, kind of getting you into the world.
Yeah.
Because in other Assassin's Creed games, you kind of get thrown into it pretty quick. And very quickly, you're looking at a giant map that's just, like, overwhelming. And this time around, it seems like they took a little bit of time getting you to that state. And you know, now you... Well, at least where I'm at in the game, you know, I have a big open world map, and you see a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
Other things hint at things to get, but you know, I think they were smarter about how they got you into the world this time. It isn't as overwhelming, and also you can. I feel like it's a little bit more streamlined for the story, whereas. I think previous Assassin's Creed games, it always felt like story almost felt secondary.
Yeah.
And the side quests, and you know, really kind of consume you too much. Whereas this, I feel like the main storyline is really front and center. And the side quest stuff is still there, but you're not as incentivized to stay in the side quests. I don't know. I've been enjoying it, and it looks fantastic.
Well, I've not played the rest, so I don't know about the whole introduction, but I do feel as though you're eased into it. You're eased into it quite nicely, I suppose, being in Norway and then exploring that. And you have the choice to, don't you? You can stop yourself from going into England and just to say that you're not quite ready to travel there yet and explore more of... Like, in Norway, I come across this waterfall because... I come across a woman who said, if anyone can find my... treasure comb, you can spend the night with me or something like that. So I spent about 10 minutes looking for this comb by this waterfall, and I found like a small gap in the waterfall that led to one of Ragnar Lothbrok's initial, you know, one of his first Viking warriors that he went on travels with. And have you ever come across him or not?
No, but I know. I think I know the waterfall you're talking about. I think I did the exact same thing. But I'm always on the look. Anytime I see a waterfall, I always think, is there something behind it?
Yeah. Well, there is in that one.
Yeah. And that's a Tomb Raider thing, by the way. I learned that from Tomb Raider. Anytime you see a waterfall, there's a cave behind it, pretty much.
Well, it makes you understand quickly the lack of abilities that you've got as a person when you start out in the game, because the person who's behind the waterfall is like probably an equivalent of like a level 40 or a level 50, and they just absolutely slay you. So you have to go around and search for different abilities and rank up yourself.
I don't know what he's doing. I'm not sure.
I'm very happy, very, very happy right now.
Your abilities is a big thing. You've just got to get out there and try and... Oh, what's he doing?
I don't know. I'm at a loss. I have a feeling it has something to do with a picture up, maybe. I don't know.
No.
It's good. I've got into England now. I'm starting to build my own village as such. I'm upgrading the shops. So I think I'm at level 3 now, because you've got 6 levels, haven't you? I think in your home village that you have to work yourself up to. Guardian level 6, I think it is. Well, I'm on 3. I'm starting to work my way up there. I think I'm level 40 as far as power goes. I've come across one of the zealots. Have you done that yet, Greg? Have you come across one of those on the?
No, but I now understand why Robin is snickering, because he thinks he's funny. He timed me out in the chat because I told him the better movie was Crimson Tide, which it is. The Hunt for Red October. But anyway.
Zealots. They're like these big knights that are at level 100, I think their power level is, and they just absolutely slaughter you if you ever come across them. The menus was the thing that I couldn't get my head around at first. There's a lot going on, isn't there? So there you've got your abilities, you've got your skills, your inventory, where you're constantly upgrading all of your equipment, like your axe and your shield and your clothing. There's the quests, which in itself can be quite confusing, because there's so many of them, the more people that you come across. And then there's this one section, it's called Order of Ancients. And in there, you'll see the different people that you've got to assassinate. It all leads to one character. I'm not too sure who that is, but there's various Vikings, I think, that have left Norway and gone into England that you have to come across. I've killed 2, I think, so far. But the Zealots is almost like an extra. And they're these knights that surround the outside of this order chart. And they're so difficult. So I think you've just got to spend a huge amount of time roaming around and building up your abilities and your rank and your power to eventually then just go out and start slaying those. But
I thought I was going to be, kind of cheeky. I took a pot shot at one of them with an arrow and ended up, they came after me, and I did not realize, of course, they were level 80. I mean, I got my ass handed to me quickly.
You don't last long.
No.
I like the raid concept as well. I feel as though you can get around. That was the one thing that really peed me off about the Assassin's Creed that I played a long time ago, and maybe that's developed a lot earlier on within the game series. But you can travel a lot better, I think, now. You can fast travel. Mm-hmm. You can travel on the longboat. There's the horse to travel about on land. It feels like you can get around a lot quicker than when I first played it, which is what I really like. I like the raid.
The raid's fun.
Raids are just so cool.
Just going in, setting fire to the huts.
And all of that is just to get loot, supplies to upgrade your village then. So you go back and start doing that. So I'm about, I think it's about 18, 19 hours in. I'm really enjoying that. It's a great game. I need some advice as well. I've got Cyberpunk. I've downloaded that, right? I've not played it yet. And I've seen your wonderful pictures and stuff of Cyberpunk.
Right.
And I don't know if to just get a refund on it. And I don't know, how do you do that if you bought a digital game on Xbox? Is that something you have to go through?
Here's my question to you. And this is the same advice I say to anybody. So if you're waiting on Cyberpunk because you're waiting for patches to make it more playable, one that has already been happening. So like the Xbox One X version is at a state now that actually is pretty playable.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So they've been patching it. So the question is, do you think at some point you're going to play it? Maybe on next gen system, not even your current system, when you get your Xbox Series S or X, if you're thinking you're going to do it then, I guess my question to you would be, do you want to just keep it until then?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I've heard so many bad things about it and people getting refunds. I'm just like, do I just do it now?
So, again, this is the question is, if you're going to play it later on and you don't need the money right now, I mean, unless you're hurting for money, which, it could happen, but just hang on to it because you get the free upgrade. You'll be able to play it on whatever system. So I would say just hang on to it. Maybe pay attention to the updates. It's a good game. So there's a lot of people that are pissed off and angry about it because they're playing it on last gen systems that are not necessarily, it launched horribly. It was unplayable for last gen systems when it launched. It really was. So you have a lot of people that were angry, that were, taking the piss out of it, rightfully so. On the Series X, it plays great. It looks great. Anytime you have open world games, you're going to get some glitches. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, yeah. I've already had
you
glitches
do,
happen.
Yeah.
So taking that aside, the story, the game itself is good. But you need to be in it, if you are, I need to play it in 60 frames a second, it needs to be smooth, it needs to have all the bells and whistles, then yeah, wait for next gen, but you've got it. So unless you're hurting for money, I would just say just pocket it and wait for when you get to a point where you feel like, hey, I want to play it now. Yeah. You could play it now. I think you would be fine with it. It's had enough updates at this point that it is in a stable condition. I know it's running, I want to say anywhere from like 20 to 25 frames a second solid on the old gen systems. That for that game, what you're doing is it is technically in a playable state. I know some people be like, oh my God, that's so unplayable. I'm not one of those individuals. As long as it's not juddery and it just, it feels smooth enough, I can play a game in that state. So, but if you do want a refund, I think you just have to go in through the store. There's a basically a system for getting a refund. You could get a refund for it. I know Sony and Microsoft are offering up refunds. They're not really questioning it. So it just depends upon, if you think you're going to play it at some point, then hang on to it. But well, if you need the money, that's a different story.
Well, no, it's not that's the case, but I just thought, well, I could just get, if I'm not playing it now and I can get it for 20 quid in 6 months or 12 months when they put it on stupid sales, and I just thought, well,
yeah. I mean, that again depends upon when you think you're going to play it. If you think you're going to want to play it next month, then
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. If you want to wait to get it on sale at some other later time, yeah, go for it. Important to note, as rightfully pointed out by Kim, there are boob physics to be dealt with. There's also penis physics, apparently. When you're setting up your character, you set your character up full kit. it's an interesting game. I actually have shelved it for the moment just because I was getting into some other games that I wanted to play through first. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to get into Cyberpunk. I have already kind of mapped out the way I'm going to go now. In my head, I'm going to go back in and basically you can go nomad, you can go street kid or corporate. And in my head, corporate is like John Wick, so to speak. And right. So in my head, that's that I'm going to go that route. The other beginnings to me felt a little bit. I like the nomad beginning of the game. They're all different, by the way. So when you start the game up, depending upon what background you choose, you will get a different start to the game. I thought the Nomad was probably the most exciting or entertaining start out of all of the three. But I really want to play as a corporate thug. and just, you know, corporate henchmen. I think that in my head, that's the way I'm going to go with Cyberpunk. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to playing it. And it looks great. It plays well on the Series X. Again, it was a rough start for them, but I don't think, unless you say I'm not going to play this for months, then, you know, then you could ask for a refund and just get it when it comes out cheaper.
Well, certainly. I don't know how long Assassin's Creed's going to take to do. It seems like a huge game. That's going to take up a lot of my time, I think that.
No. From Assassin's Creed, we can talk about some Gears Tactics. I've been playing that. Playing that on the Series X. I had previously played it on PC. So the interesting thing with the console version when it came out, they made some upgrades to it, and pretty substantial upgrades. Not just on the visual front, but mechanically speaking, they added the Jackbot into the Tactics game, and he basically plays a fifth controllable character for you. It really changes how you play this game, and I don't want to make light of that, because I thought before Gears Tactics limited you to four players max in terms of going out on a mission, and you were tested with the Jackbot coming in and being your fifth player or controllable character. It in some respects makes it a little bit easier, because you now have an additional character that you can use. Like, I use the Jackbot a lot for, I just call it Jackbot. I don't know what it's actually, I think it's just Jack, but I use it for capturing control points a lot, or going after things, because you can cloak, which kind of makes it untouchable from an enemy standpoint, which is nice. You know, so the game definitely plays different now with Jack being there. And I will say also, they did a great job with the visuals on this. The cutscenes all look fantastic. I mean, this game looks great on Series X. And no, not Red October. No. Anyway, Gears Tactics. It's fun. It's good. Fuck off, Robin. Just wipe that goddamn smug off your face. Crimson Tide, baby. Crimson Tide. Hey, Control, by the way. I dabbled a little bit in Control.
Explain Control. I know I should know all about that, but it is.
I have to say, the game starts off, I was not overly liking the way it starts off, because it just kind of throws you into it. You know, your character walks right up to this like FBI-like building, and you're just in it. And as you start playing, it kind of, you know, the story unfolds a little bit in terms of why you're there, what's going on. It has a very creepy vibe to it. It's very Alan Wake. A little bit more creepy than I expected. I kind of thought it would be a little bit more, I don't know, Uncharted to start, and then it would get into the creepiness. But no, it is just creepy from the get-go. And as you're walking through this FBI building, I mean, you know, it starts off, you're in a sense kind of going into an abandoned building for there were people here, you don't know where they've gone, but it is weird in that you're coming off a busy street, you know, so you walk in, you see pedestrians walking by the building behind you, but there's nobody inside this building. It's odd that it
is
would
it,
be.
Is it Quantum Brick? Is it that sort of style more than anything else? You know, like a bit supernatural and.
100%. This is definitely supernatural. Quantum Break. Alan Wake. In fact, Alan Wake ties into this game. And I will also say, as I was playing through, I at first was a little disappointed. I felt like it was controlling more like Quantum Break and Alan Wake did, and less like an Uncharted. But I discovered the duck, if you will, or kind of duck down, is on your thumbstick. I didn't see that in the control scheme. So the entire time I'm just like, how do you get behind cover other than just moving behind cover? So you can actually use cover effectively, but you know, it doesn't control like an Uncharted game. It controls still more like Quantum Break, okay. Which I wasn't a fan of Quantum Break and how it controlled. I thought it was okay. But the story so far so good. You know, I mean, it is supernaturalness. It's kind of ghost hunter-y like. And you have your gun. I mean, I honestly have no fucking clue what's going on in the story at this point. I have a little tidbit of it, but there's so much that's hidden behind documents and things that you read as you're going along. And I'm a bad gamer in that respect. I don't like reading those documents. I don't get into the lore of the game. I want it to be a little bit more straightforward for myself. So I'm not stopping and reading everything I pick up.
Okay.
But there's lots of little things to pick up, and you know, a lot of that unfolds the story on top of it all. But it looks good, and apparently they're going to have a nice upgrade to it for the Series X and PS5 come, I want to say February is the time frame they said they were going to put an update out for it. So it should look even better and run even better. But for now, it still controls and looks fantastic, so I don't know how much more they're going to do to it.
People are confused about the term duck, Greg. Is there ducks in this game, or you know, are you quackers?
Yes, there's millions and millions of ducks. No, ducking behind cover.
Kim, yes. There you go. Kim, he meant ducking behind cover. Seriously, yeah,
she's been drinking, by the way. So you know, not like I have.
Could you please show people? I'm sorry for people for not watchers, but for the watchers, can you please show people the size of this bottle of?
Well, I can't. I'll go grab the bottle.
Yeah, get the bottle. Gives you
perspective of my current drink.
Yeah, get the bottle there, Sean. Seriously. For God's sake, that man's crazy. Crimson Tide is a good enough film, but it is not The Hunt for Red October. That's like saying, I don't know. The Shawshank Redemption is better than what people say it is, probably. But I mean, The Hunt for Red October, for God's sake, I'm it's not the same.
Shut the fuck up. Hey, so what would you rather have, Crown or Captain Morgan?
Holy shit!
So this is catering, what Costco brings you.
Catering size bottles, my God! Hold it up again. Sorry, I want more. Look, turn it round so we can see the handle in the back. It looks like something we get in the hospital to pee in.
How much are those?
This is... I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Oh, it says... It's on the back there. I see it on the label at the back. It says a lot.
Yep, a lot.
Well, I mean, how much are they in money? It's about a 5-litre bottle, isn't it, that? Or 3-litre.
Gallon?
No, probably. It's probably, I don't know, $40.
Jeez.
$40, about 33 quid, something like that there. 32 quid.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Yeah, we're a standard 70cl bottle over here is what, 15 or 16 pounds? $20.
Yeah.
Holy crap, yeah. I'm going to just fill my suitcase full of it. Very good.
No, sorry, Kim. No, Jack. We do Crown Royal in our house.
Was it last week I was on the vodka? Oh, yeah, I had the Polish vodka. Holy crap, what a hangover I had the next day.
Yeah, vodka can give you a nasty hangover.
I don't do hangovers, but that got me. That got me. Oh, flip me. And I hadn't even taken the magic drugs, Pete.
Oh, you must have felt awful then.
Oh, no magic drugs.
No, it was bad.
Hey, that's just... That's just such a thing that's just like made my day. That medication.
Shh.
All right.
Has it changed your life, has it, man? Seriously, have you continued using my magic formula?
I've tried it a couple of times, yeah.
And has it worked for you? And you went, oh, yeah. I love you, Robin. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love it. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, congratulations. Shh. Don't tell everybody that now. Anyway, they're not ready for that yet. Okay, what's next, Mr. Deliacy, Sean?
Well, so here's the deal. We don't have any news to talk about. Okay. It is a very quiet time in the industry. So I thought maybe we could talk about a couple games that maybe were new to us or new this year that we really enjoyed, thoroughly enjoyed, and wanted to kind of highlight for those that that may be looking for a game to pick up that hadn't heard of it. So, Pete, is there anything on your playlist that you're like, you know what, this is a game I loved this year. I really want to highlight it. Maybe it's a VR game.
Well, some of the games have already been played, but Ori was a great game series that I played this year that I wouldn't normally pick up. So that was Ori, Will of the Wisp, and The Blind Forest as well. That was a good game series.
And worth pointing out, it did come out this past year, but it came out in a weird time, and it just kind of it didn't get the fanfare I thought it would.
No. It's a beautiful game. Both of them are, but Will of the Wisps is the most recent one. God, it's a large game, but it's a beautiful game. So I reckon that's well worth playing if you've not picked that up already on Absolutely. Game Pass. Yeah. Minecraft Dungeons has been quite a surprise for me. What Remains of Edith Finch. What was that other one? My Friend Pedro, is it?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
My Friend Pedro. That was the game that I wouldn't normally play. And again, Game Pass has brought that into our household, and I really enjoyed that. So just a small... Fractured Minds, I think that was another one that I mentioned. It was a quick, like, 1,000 game of points. And everybody was going mad about that game, but nobody complained about getting 1,000 gamer points, did they? They were like, oh, yeah, it's really good. You get your gamer points if you are an achievement whore. So I think those for me, which are not so A-list, were the games that I really enjoyed this year. But I suppose that should we talk about Game of the Year after?
Yeah, we'll get to a Game of the Year conversation probably next episode, not this one. We're not quite ready for it yet. But no, those are some good games to highlight that didn't get all the fanfare. You know, I think about games I played this past year that I thoroughly enjoyed. You know, Gears Tactics, I love my turn-based games. Yeah. Gears Tactics has been kind of a highlight. I was really disappointed, actually, by XCOM Chimera Squad. That came out, that was PC title. But I loved XCOM and XCOM 2, and so I really was looking forward to this, and it just didn't deliver the way I thought it would. But the game I want to highlight is a game called Phoenix Point that's made by the original developers of XCOM UFO Defense. It's XCOM. It is XCOM in all its glory, just different setting, different, kind of background, obviously, because it's not XCOM, but, it's a great turn-based tactics game. You have all of the managey bits. You have to manage your base. You have to upgrade it. You've got to pay attention to your squad, upgrade your characters. It's got all of that going for it. And so that was a pleasant surprise. It started off a little bit rough, but they've really stuck to it. They've been patching it and updating it, and so it's at a really good playable state. So if you are wanting that kind of game and you have a PC, that's a game I would highly recommend. The other game that I'll highlight out just to keep it simple, but Maneater. This was just my absolute gem find from this past year. I didn't have high hopes for it, but I wanted to take a chance on it. And oh my God, what a breath of fresh air. It was just fun, ridiculous shark gore. You know, just being able to play a shark and literally jump out of the water and snatch somebody off of a boat and then just tear them to shreds and eat them. The fear of coming across something bigger than you was also kind of an interesting spin to it. As you get farther into the game, you start encountering other creatures that will eat you or can take you out. And I think it culminated in a gray whale that I saw, and I just panicked for a few bits, but then got my shark to a point that I could take on the whale itself. And I think just my favorite thing in that game was very GTA-like. I would just go to a spot and just start attacking everything under the sun. and so you'd have, you know, basically bounty hunters coming in trying to kill you. But once you got your shark powered up enough, you really could just game it and just lay carnage. And eventually it'd get to a point where there would just be a break off, if you will. But there was just so much fun to that. Loved it. So, yeah, Maneater was definitely my surprise find for this past year. And one, I think I finished it last year, but I think I finished it up into the beginning of this year, was Jedi Fallen Order. If you haven't played that game, man, what a great game. So I know there's been a couple people that have just recently been playing it or starting it up. So if you haven't played that and you like Star Wars lore, especially, you know, with the Mandalorian coming out and all that good stuff, Jedi Fallen Order is probably one of the best Star Wars games I've played in many years.
I don't think you need to be an avid fan of Star Wars. It's got a great story.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a beautiful game. It's got some excellent gameplay in it. I think it's pretty addictive. It's such a big game as well. It's not one that makes you feel like, oh, this is a real grind. You enjoy every minute of it. It's really... Someone was only saying the other day on one of the chats, I seen it pop up on my phone. It's like, I can't believe how big this game is. And it really is. It's a huge game, but you get addicted to it, and it's fantastic. I do agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Robin, what about you? Anything you want to highlight?
Yeah, well, I know it's old now and it has been superseded, but I didn't finish Call of Duty Modern Warfare until January of this year. And... it was brilliant. I loved that single. The multiplayer was really good as well, but the single player campaign and COD Modern Warfare was absolutely freaking brilliant. Let's go well back. Some of the same. My Friend Pedro is a gem that everybody should play. It's lots of fun. The soundtrack is great. Makes you feel really good. Minecraft Dungeons, again, had fun with the kids in that too. And one I really, really hate and really, really love all at once is Battletoads. I hated Battletoads, and I loved Battletoads, and I just couldn't stop playing Battletoads, so they did something right. So, yeah, Battletoads is just, it's so bad, it's good.
Oh, no.
It doesn't control badly or anything, it's just, it's old school, it's fun, it's crazy, it's good. And, of course, just recently, and I know it's early days, but, again, it has such good pedigree. I've fallen in love with it already. Beat Saber is such a fabulous piece of gaming. It looks good. It feels good. It's doing me good. And, you know, I've got a big saber in my hand. So.
You know, you mentioned Call of Duty. I'm going to skip past your beating your saber. Call of Duty, you know, I think the other big surprise for me really was Warzone.
Yeah.
And how much that was a success, you know, and I love that they're keeping it going.
I was going to say it's
standalone.
It still is, isn't it? It's a huge success.
Yeah.
I don't like how you lose all of your rank after each season comes by, because you probably know just as much as I do how much work we put into trying to get to level 76, and then all of a sudden you're back to level 1, and you're like, oh shit. Start all over again. So, but it's just seamless, isn't it? That
they've done a good job with it, and you know, I was skeptical. Honestly, I didn't want to like Call of Duty Warzone because I didn't want Activision to succeed. I kind of, you know, they've rode this train so long. I want them to fail just because I want that. You know, I want something other than Call of Duty to be like a number one, you know, kind of game. And so it's like, okay, when are they going to trip up? And they've had a couple slips here and there. And I think maybe this year's, you know, Black Ops game is maybe the closest we've had to them, you know, having a bad release. But it's not even a bad release as games go. But Warzone being standalone is good. I'm happy about that. Keep it a free-to-play kind of separate mode, and you know, I'll continue to play that. I definitely have been enjoying that.
Cool.
So, yeah. All right. There's only one game on our list for new releases coming between January 5th and 9th. And maybe it's possibly the greatest game ever. Who knows? But just based on the name, I'm kind of inclined. Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues.
Cash in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, total cash in. But maybe it'll be our game of the year for 2021. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta love a little Karate Kid Cobra Kai action. Anyway, all right. Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Victory's achieved.
Yeah, victory achieved. We had winners last week. Hardly Dan. Have to say, Hardly Dan has contacted me, and he wants us to donate his winnings to Extra Life, to Gary's account, which is nice. So that's lovely. Well, thank you, Dan. And all of the other winners, I haven't managed to send you your money yet, but I will. This week, we have several victory achieves. What victory achieves is, you just finish the game, you take a selfie with yourself, with a photograph of the credits in the background, you tweet that after @OC_podcast, and we put you in a draw. And you can win money. So, you know, $15, 15 quid, $20, whatever it is, to buy, spend on games. So that's kind of cool. And people that finished games this week, you had Mark Annex. God bless his heart. He looks really pasty. Mark's not very well at the moment. He finished Jedi The Fallen Order. Kim, she finished Kingdoms of Amalur.
Wow.
It's
a big game.
Go. Yeah. The re-reckoning. Duke finished Red Dead Redemption 2, and as expected, he thought of it as what you expect Eric to think of anything that was written like that in a game.
Brilliant game.
Yes. That's what he thought. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Eric. Many boffins were harmed making that game. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, another massive game, was finished by On Your Six. Well done. Big game. And that's it. That's people have been replenishing games. So congratulations. You're now entered in the draw. And good stuff. And for the moment, we will pay you this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
That just sounds very dirty. Very
dirty. That's used to.
We might have to update.
I love Anya Six's usernames. Justin is nicked that from I can't remember the podcast there. I love that username though. Anya Six.
Anya Six. Anya Six. There you are.
All right. Well, I guess we can wrap things up. It's been a show. Look, if you have listened to us this far, thank you very much. Pete, actually, we should do a shout out real fast. Everybody in the chats, I know there was a number of people in there that were incorrectly saying Red October was the better movie. False. Just because Sean Connery was in it does not make it the better movie. Also, he's dead. Take that. Oh.
These were on my shout out. It's actually because I haven't got anyone to shout out today. So we've got Abbott Costello, another TV viewer, which I don't know, is that a bot? A10, Booksome Lim. Clear Your Browser History, which I'm sure is another bot. Commander Root, Electrical Longboard, Go With Him, Hardly Dan, LL Delera, yourself, Greg, and Pingutio, and Violet TV.
Yeah, Martin just chimed in. I believe he just gave me the finger. I could be wrong. I'm not positive. I can't make out the icon. It's on my phone right now.
It's Kamala Harris.
That's Kamala Harris. Well, that is just like the middle finger, basically.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks for that. all right. Robin, why don't you go next?
Oh, okay. Look, Mark, I hope you're feeling better soon. Phil and all the guys, see you back here next week for a Game of the Year wrap-up. Looking forward to this week. Big week in the world of politics. I'm very, very interested. 6th of January. So get the lion out and let's see what happens. Have a good week, everybody. Have a safe and wonderful gaming time, and we will see you soon. Take us home, Greg.
All right. Thank you, Martin. He clarified that was not a finger, just a Kamala Harris. But let's face it, Martin, that more than less was a finger. I could do that. Maybe that's the new victory achieved sound. We do something in that vein. I think we could. Thank you to the both of you for making the show. Mark made up the excuse of catching COVID, whatever. I'm sure, it's a legitimate excuse. I know he's not feeling good. No, we love you, Mark. Get better soon. Please, 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 please do. We miss you, and we know it's been a rough go, but hopefully he starts feeling better soon. And of course, anybody within our podcast family that's been dealing with COVID, that's tough. We do have some empathy and sympathy for you. I don't know what that sound was, but
okay. Is that Sean Connery?
One ping. Robin, I think we can just safely say we should start the music and finish this year out the way we started it, with one ping. One ping only.
dear.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.
Crimson Tide's better movie.
Cunt!